You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Hey, everybody. We say hello to you on a kind of scary afternoon. If you are trying to get home from work, maybe leaving a little early, please take it slow, take it easy. Roads are slick in a lot of places, so just slow down just a little bit. Everything will be good. Jim and Trent right here at 264-1700, 264-1700 if you'd like to get in on the show. We've got a great show lined up for you. Chris Dobertin, SB Nation Bracketology coming up at 420. Zuba Mahente from ESPN at 440. At 5 o'clock, Derek Peck will join us from Hawkeye Heaven. At 5:20, Adam Kramer, Kegs and Eggs. And at 5:40, Ken Silverstein, Big Ten Conference Insider. Trent, it's a little rough outside, but we did okay getting here, right?
Yeah, no problems. I mean, come on, you're being a little dramatic. Let's slow down.
Well, I just want people to slow down, that's all.
Do you think they're going to listen to you, Jimmy B? Come on.
Yes.
That's going to be the difference between somebody going out there and flying around town is hearing, I got to slow down. Jim Brinson told me to slow down. Come on.
Absolutely. That's the power of radio. That's the power of radio.
You're a goof. You are an absolute goof if you think that. You got that
kind of
power.
Somebody slowed down. Somebody just slow down just right now, and that way my thought process, I'm good with it. Just somebody just slow down just a little bit.
Jim, you are full of it. You are full of it. Speaking of full of it, the UNI Panthers are full of losses, Jim.
Great transition.
It is one night after another. This team cannot find a way to get into the win column. Iowa State has opportunities, can't get it done. Iowa, earlier over the weekend on Sunday, had opportunities. A 30-9 run ends it. And now UNI comes back, takes the lead, gets the game tied as they're down throughout the last couple of minutes, gets a steal with, 15, 20 seconds left, get the layup. Yep. All right, here we go. Force a missed shot, tip in at the horn. Game over, drive home safely. The Sycamores with the win, though they didn't cover. I guess that's the saving grace. At least you and I covered, right?
Yeah, I'll take that. Yeah, we both thought that you and I had a chance to win that game, so we took the points, and listen, that's all we care about. Not really. I'd like to see one of these teams kind of get a W. This is getting damn poor. Yes, it's poor out here. I mean, Drake got beat last night, their first loss in conference play as well. This is not what the type of basketball year, Trent, that you and I had signed up for. It really isn't. We both felt at the beginning of the season that Iowa would be in the hunt. There was a magical mystery tour for Iowa State, and we thought you and I was going to be in the hunt as well with the departure of Wichita State, and it just has not worked out that way. And this is going to be, and I hate to say this, unless somebody wins a conference tournament, whether if it's Iowa State, Iowa, UNI, or Drake, we're not going to have a team in the NCAA tournament. It is just going to be one of those years where it's going to be over with at the end of the regular conference tournament season.
You're right. You're right, Jimmy B. There isn't a whole lot of hope. So, here we go again, and now it's Iowa now back in the driver's seat looking for their first conference victory of the season. They get Illinois tonight, a team that is winless in conference play themselves, an Illinois team that I frankly just don't think Iowa matches up very well. How long can this continue, Jim? How long can we go before we actually see one of the public schools get a victory here? Iowa they're off this weekend, yeah. So they don't even play. Iowa State coming up next for them. It's Baylor at home on Saturday, maybe, possibly. For the Panthers coming up next for them, they get Valpo at home on Saturday. Who breaks the skid? Do we at least get a broken here in the next week?
God, you would hope so. I mean, I'm sick and tired of breaking down loss after loss after loss. Look, our job is to understand what took place in the contest and give our opinions in the way that we feel about those games. And it has just been one dreary explanation after another. Now, we've both been right on point throughout the course of the season so far for Iowa State, UNI, and Iowa. But, man, give us something, at least a skiff of positivity. Trent, there has been none. None, other than the fact what Drake did coming out of the gate and surprising everybody by winning their first four. And then also, I have seen improvement in Iowa State, but as we discussed yesterday, they haven't figured out how to close the game yet. So that remains an issue. Neither has UNI, and UNI both felt that they might have the best shot at maybe being a conference champion. That's not the case now. And we thought Iowa, along with everybody else, was going to be much better, and they've just stunk up the joint. So I wish I had an answer, Trent. I really do. Do you? Are you in the same conundrum I'm in?
What conundrum is that?
I just thought these teams would be better than what we have seen so far. I thought they'd both be around 500, and I just never anticipated UNI, Iowa State with zero. Let me repeat that. Nada, nothing, niet, zero victories in conference play.
Oh, nobody envisioned that, Jimmy P. I mean, nobody.
No, you're right.
Nobody
yeah.
had these teams sitting a combined, what is it? Let's see, 0-5 and 0-4 and 0-4. I mean, they're combined, what, 0-13, 0-14, whatever it is. I'm losing count.
Zero and 922.
It's nobody had that.
Terrible.
So,
yeah.
Of course it's confounding, and you're searching for answers here. You know, the thing is, Iowa State's pretty easy. This is a rebuilding year. They're going through a rebuild. You've seen positive signs. You've seen good stretches out of them. You know the Calvary's coming. You got the team that's going to be coming in next season with the two transfers that'll be eligible to play. You couple that with what they have coming in that recruiting class, and you feel like they're going to be in good shape because it's a rebuilding year. This was not expected to be a rebuilding year for you and I. You have two senior big guys, something that you and I rarely has. And when you have guys like that, that's when they make their push. David Gruber, mm-hmm. one of the first ones, way back when Greg McDermott was running things and turning that program into at least some level of respectability from the train wreck it was before under Sam Weaver and some of the other coaches that they had. He had a senior, Schneiderman, and Gruber, and they went to the NCAA tournament. Seth Tuttle took them to high, high heights. When you yes. have guys like this, when you have big guys in the MVC, that's where you ascend, but this UNI team has not ascended, and they're sitting there winless in conference play. When does it turn around for them? I don't know if you can see a whole lot of hope for them as they sit at 0-5. Everybody in the conference, Jim, everybody in the MVC has at least two victories in conference play. At the top, the biggest shocker of all, Drake, even with the loss last night to Valpo, alone in first place at 4-1. Then you have a log jam, Loyola, Bradley, Missouri State, Illinois State, and Indiana State. They're all 3-2. Three teams at 2-3, Evansville, Valpo, and Southern Illinois. And there's the Panthers, all by them lonesome, down in the bottom. This is a team people were talking about a month ago, Jimmy B, possibly putting together a resume good enough to be in the tournament as an at-large team. Not by winning the conference tournament, but by doing it because of what they did in the non-conference. The win against SMU, the win against North Carolina State, hanging tough against Villanova. The game against Carolina, though it wasn't pretty, it's a quality resume builder that they had on there. Wins against UNLV, Texas Arlington, two teams that have a chance to be bubble team themselves. And then it's fallen apart. They have lost now consecutive games to Iowa State, Xavier, Southern Illinois, Bradley, Mo State, Loyola, and Indiana State. This is a completely different team than the one we were talking about a month ago, Jimmy B. And I don't know what the answer are. You know, we talked yesterday about offensively starting to shoot it a little bit better, but I think it comes back to where I started, the big guys. The big guys don't show up. This is what happens to this squad. They don't have enough help around them to get it done. And I think a really frustrating season for you and I. We've talked about the frustrations for Iowa. Where do you turn? Where do you turn if you're you and I? Because they can't rely on what Iowa can at least say, hey, this is a young team. Though there's experience, this was still expected to be a young team. You and I can't say that. They have young guys playing. But after this year, Carlson and Cook are moving on. Who's playing inside for you and I going forward? Are they going with a five-guard lineup? I mean, go four-guard at least, like what we're seeing with Drake? I don't see that happening. That, I think, why probably the most disappointing of all these might be you and I, because you look then down the road, and Taiwan Pickford, he's a great talent, there's no doubt. But you look down the road at this roster, you wonder, how are you going to construct a team that's going to be able to be good enough in the MVC, going to be one of the top two or three teams? There's a lot missing from you and I.
I agree with you 100% with everything that you just said. And that rarely happens on this show, as
Jim,
well
you say
know.
You agree with me 100% like 30 times a show. What are you talking about?
No, I don't. No,
yes,
I
you
don't.
Do.
No.
You want me
no,
to,
I don't. Don't
I'm going to put a counter up here in the studio.
Do you, that. How many times about, I agree with you?
You say it about three times in the opening segment every day because it annoys me because you say I 100. You either say I agree 100%.
No,
or
no.
You're completely right. Yes, you do. You say it all the time.
No, I don't. No, I never do.
Go ahead, Jim.
I'm doing Donald Trump here. No, I didn't say that. Mm-hmm. Look, here's the thing. With the way that you just described it, it's incredible that this team has been unable to find a win. And yeah, last night was close, absolutely. Lost on a tip-in. But still, they shouldn't be in the predicament that they're in right now, Trent. That's the solid point right here. Iowa shouldn't be in the predicament they're in. Iowa State, we didn't know. I mean, they had their chances, but they haven't figured out a way to close yet. It's a shocking college basketball season in this state to just about every college basketball fan, because no one saw zero wins in conference play for the three teams that you and I are discussing. Nobody saw that coming.
Jimmy B coming up here to kick off the show in our guest. We got Chris Dober team. We're going to talk college basketball with him, but I want to talk a little basketball. Hear you talk about basketball in a different way. So I'm getting ready today for the show, and I'm doing a little homework, and of course I got to take a look at the point spread. So that's a part of my morning routine every day. And all of a sudden I see, Lafayette's playing Army at, noon Eastern, 11 o'clock our time. That doesn't make a lick of sense. And then I take a look over at the NBA. They're playing in London this afternoon. Now, that one makes sense. So I thought, hey, it's a perfect opportunity for the favorite segment across Central Iowa. Here it is. Time now for Jimmy B's crappy NBA Minute.
New present was unsealed in Chicago Stadium. Ricky Mahorn hustling underneath, can't get it to fall. Jordan to the hoop, king of the air, score!
All right, Trent just referenced the NBA playing a game in London. It is the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. In the first half, the Celtics trailed by as many as 22 points, but that is not the case as we speak. We just had a little altercation at center court between two players. It was broken up quickly. Boston has taken control of this game and has moved out to a 15-point lead over the Philadelphia 76ers now late in the fourth quarter. Trent, look, the game tonight will be in Toronto. It's the Cleveland Cavaliers matched up against the Toronto Raptors. The Cavs got pounded by Minnesota two nights ago. Can the Cavs recapture?
It's over, Jim. I know you wanted to get more in there. I'm sorry. It is over. What is not over is the show here today. We got college basketball talk kicking things off with Chris Dobertine from Blogging the Bracket. We'll be talking with Zubin Mehente of ESPN coming up at 4:40. We got Derek Peck stopping by. We're talking Hawkeyes with him. Adam Kramer on college football as we put a cap on things and take a peek forward, and Ken Silverstein to finish it off. It all to come here on the program this afternoon. Stick and stay there until 6 o'clock. We got you covered on that long, long drive home. Stay safe out there. It's Jimmy B and TC.
The Kansas City Chiefs play here. 1700 KBGG.
The Rookie is Central Iowa's leader in sports cards, collectibles, supplies, and memorabilia. The Rookie has a large selection of vintage and modern-day sports cards from brands such as Topps, Upper Deck, and Panini. Whether you're starting a new collection or building your own, The Rookie has all your needs from football, basketball, baseball, hockey, UFC, and more. It's time to collect. Stop by The Rookie, 9992 Swanson Boulevard, right across from the Willis Auto Campus, and online at therookiesportscards.com.
Start spreading the news. Variety's Black Tie Gala, New York, New York, is set for January 19th. Black Tie is a gala evening emceed by Des Moines native David Anthony Higgins, known for his role in hit television show Mike and Molly. The evening features cocktails, dinner, and dancing. Variety, the children's charity, works to improve the lives of underprivileged, at-risk, and special needs children by gifting bikes, building inclusive playgrounds, providing support to critically ill children, and more. Join us January 19th at Black Tie to ensure all children are able to reach their full potential. Get your tickets for Variety's Black Tie at varietyiowa.com/blacktie.
Sponsored by Indeed.com. Are you hiring? Join the over 3 million businesses that use Indeed.com for hiring. Post your next job opening on the world's number one job site, Indeed.com.
As a small business owner, you're always on the go. So how can you make sure you never miss a customer's call? Grasshopper. That's right. With Grasshopper, you get all of the features of a business phone system that's affordable and incredibly easy to use directly on your cell phone. You get a toll-free or vanity phone number that's memorable and professional. Customers are forwarded to your phone and connected to your team. And you can work from anywhere using Wi-Fi calling or our desktop app. And with our mobile app, your outgoing calls and texts show up as your professional phone number. Voicemails are transcribed and sent to your email so you can determine their importance at a glance. So whether you're on the go or working from home and need to keep business calls separate, or you simply want a professional tone, Grasshopper makes it happen. Set up your account in just minutes. There are no long-term contracts and support is 24/7. Get your calls, stay connected, thrive. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. grasshopper.com/radio.
Now at Menards, save big money on your next project with an 11% rebate on everything. Whether it's a new garage or a kitchen remodel, you'll get an 11% rebate on all of it. The bigger the project, the bigger the savings. There's no limit to how much you can save now during the 11% rebate sale at Menards. Good through January 13th. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at Menards.
Villaggio Italian Restaurant brings real homemade Italian to you. Fantastic food, great service, and an elegant vibe that feels like home. All your favorites from the original in Norwalk and an expanded menu with the newest location on 100th Street in Urbandale. Plus, one of the best happy hours in the metro from 3 to 6 each weekday. When you're thinking Italian, make it Villaggio. Pizza, pasta, sandwiches, and more. Two locations, Sunset Drive in Norwalk and 100th Street in Urbandale. Villaggio Italian Restaurant.
Washer Systems of Iowa, blasting grime and saving you time. At Washer Systems of Iowa, we have an experienced factory-trained service department and will work on any American-made pressure washer. Washer Systems of Iowa, featuring Mighty M Industrial Pressure Washers. Mighty M, built in Iowa, number one in Iowa. And the presenting sponsor for you and I, head coach Ben Jacobson, each Monday on 1700. Washer Systems of Iowa. Visit their showroom at 6050 Northeast 14th Street in Des Moines, or online, washersystems.com.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we believe in honest work, a fair price, and work we stand behind, and our 10-year workmanship warranty proves it. We know roofing. With our one-day get-it-done approach, we're known as a roofing machine. Call Wolf Construction for a free estimate at 515-225-8866 or visit us on the web at wolfconstruction.net. At Wolf Construction, we take your roof personally.
Guys, are you ready to begin your journey to live life better? Are you feeling tired and worn down or looking to improve performance and drive in the bedroom? Looking to burn fat and gain muscle? Then it's time to contact New Leaf Wellness. New Leaf Wellness offers a free, no-obligation consultation. Dr. Robert Seaman and the New Leaf staff will help craft a plan dedicated to you. From testosterone replacement therapy, advanced weight loss, to nutritional therapy, New Leaf Wellness strives to find the plan that will improve your quality of life. Dr. Robert Seaman and New Leaf Wellness, give them a call today at 515-650-1358. Again, 515-650-1358 for New Leaf Wellness. One more time, 515-650-1358. It's time to live life better with New Leaf Wellness. Call 515-650-1358. That's 515-650-1358.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, everybody, we are back. Always fun when we get a chance to talk basketball with Chris Dobertine, SB Nation Bracketology. He joins us right now on the Big Talker 1700. Chris, good afternoon to you, man.
Good afternoon, guys.
Let's start. You've probably have put out maybe one or two of your way too early bracketologies. With all of the upsets that have taken place with the top teams, how does that scramble everything?
It makes it really, really incredibly difficult, especially when you kind of have one of those busy weekends like we had Saturday and Sunday where, was it like nine ranked teams lost? Of course, there were four all top 25 matchups in there. But that really made things a little bit difficult. And I've been working on something that will be out tomorrow that's going to show how it's going to be even a little bit more difficult as we kind of go along.
Chris, as you kind of map things out, you've been doing brackets for a while. You know how it sets up every year. We'll have the conversation probably later this month. Boy, the bracket looks terrible again this season. It's just, it happens every single year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a conversation that has. Is that just 68 teams is really probably too much?
Yeah, I think we have four teams too many because those four extra teams would be the number one seeds in the NIT most years. But honestly, I haven't really, you know, had that many complaints about kind of what's there because kind of looking at the teams that were left out this week, you know, Missouri, Syracuse, USC that are kind of up there in the top group of teams left out, those are teams that can make legitimate cases. And I think as we go further through the season, you're going to have a lot of teams, especially out of the ACC, Big 12, and SEC in particular, who are going to be in that boat. They're going to be able to get quality wins and be able to make a case and make things relatively decent late in the year, which is kind of unusual.
Having a conversation right now with Chris Dobertine, SB Nation, Bracketology. Chris, and you referenced the upsets and everything. Is there a team out there that has caught your eye that maybe you had as a bubble or as a lower seed that has moved up in your eyes right now?
I think one team that really jumps out at me as being in a position is Texas Tech. I kind of thought Texas Tech was going to be kind of a fringe bubble team, kind of like they were last year. But I think they're a legitimate threat, especially with the number of quality wins that a Big 12 team is going to have available to them. With the way that they play defense, I mean, you look what they did against Kansas. That's a team that's going to be a threat to be a 3 or 4 seed. And, you know, once you get there, you know, how those draws map out, that's a team that really has potentially get the Elite Eight or maybe even the Final Four with the right draw.
Chris Dobertine joining us, bloggingthebracket.com, part of SB Nation. It's where you can find Chris's work. So I was looking at your bracket update, your latest one up from the other day, and it just cracks me up to see. So when you get to the automatic bids, the one-bid leagues, you put who is ever in first place in there. And I look over and going through and looking at the Midwest region, and what do I see? The Drake Bulldogs, a 15 seed playing Kansas in the first round. Now, it makes more sense as the season goes along to put the team in first place at least in there. But, you know, at a school like Drake that struggled at times in the non-conference, there were some bright moments, a win against Wake, how well they played against Minnesota, but also some down points. You know, is there ever a time where you think, you know what, I'd rather put, say, Missouri State, who's probably the most talented team in the MVC, or is it really just more about simplifying things for you when you're putting together the 68 teams?
It's a little event, and it's also another thing that we have to keep an eye on. It's something I like to simulate that becomes reality as we get in a championship week. You have teams that you don't expect end up winning conference tournaments, and you have to place them in the bracket. That's pretty much what that is for me, is you know, putting a team like Drake, who doesn't really have the profile that a Missouri State or a Loyola Chicago has, that team, you know, is still perfectly capable and will have just as good of a case to win Arch Madness and claim that automatic bid. And if that happens, well, your best laid plans have just, you know, blown up, and you have to put a team that you didn't think was going to be in there in the bracket. And that's really all that is. And I had the same thing happen with the Horizon League. I had somebody ask me, why is Northern Kentucky not there instead of Wright State? And it's the same thing. You know, but you go through those tiebreakers, and that's really kind of to simulate those unexpected results you get in that last week before Selection Sunday.
You know, you referenced when I asked you about your brackets and how things changed so quickly after last weekend and so many teams getting upset. Are you still all in, though, on the Michigan States, the Dukes, teams like that at the top, or where are you right now on some of those top teams?
Duke, definitely I'm still there, even with that, you know, that road loss. You know, road losses happen in, you know, league play. Michigan State I'm not quite so high on, and it's not really for the reason, you know, that they lost on the road. I mean, that's, you know, bad. But the thing is, though, they're in a Big Ten where they didn't play, you know, their non-conference schedule wasn't as good as it normally was. You know, that went over to North Carolina and the PK 80, you know, kind of accepted. And they're in a situation where, this is something I wrote in depth about for tomorrow, where they aren't going to have the quality wins that even Purdue has, because Purdue played a really great non-conference schedule, it turns out, and won a lot of those games. And the unbalanced schedule of the Big Ten really put them at a disadvantage in terms of seeding compared to Kansas and West Virginia out of the Big 12, you know, say Florida, Kentucky, Auburn out of the SEC, Villanova, Xavier, Seton Hall out of the Big East. And, of course, your ACC teams of Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia, they're going to be in a real crunch, you know, when it comes to seeding, because they're not going to probably have the quality wins out there, which is the committee's number one thing, that all those other teams might have. And that could really deflate that seeding, which for a team that was, you know, came into the season, preseason number one, is going to be completely unexpected and probably a little bit disappointing.
So this season, Chris, the Big Ten certainly is down. You still had six teams in your latest bracket update. Minnesota still sneaking in there, along with Ohio State, Maryland, Michigan, Michigan State, and Purdue. The Pac-12 also down. So we have two power conferences that are down this season. As we said, 68 teams have to get in. Is that leading more credence to the SEC, the ACC, the Big East getting more than maybe you normally expect? Or is there an opportunity for an extra team from the American, the A-10, maybe to sneak another team in there? Even the WCC after Gonzaga, St. Mary's. You know, who is this going to benefit more, the other power conferences, or is there going to be some bids for those mid-majors?
I think it's going to benefit the other power conferences, because this is not a vintage year for mid-majors either. I mean, the A-10 right now has four teams in the top 150, and everybody else, you know, that's 10 teams way out of that group, and that is really going to deflate the number of quality wins they have available. You know, the unbalanced scheduling of the Pac-12 and the Big Ten is going to hurt both those conferences. I don't think either one. I think the Pac-12 will probably get four. I don't think the Big Ten is going to end up getting six, because there just aren't the quality wins available. The American has a similar problem where you're basically going to have to beat Cincinnati or Wichita State to get a top-tier Group 1 win. That's the only way it's going to happen, and there's not going to be enough of those available, so that's going to hurt them. It's going to end up benefiting, I think, the SEC, the ACC, and the Big East, because they're going to have so many quality win opportunities available that there are going to be enough teams to take advantage. I think they're going to each end up getting, you know, one or two extra bids, because, like you said, somebody has to get those spots, and the other competition's not going to have the wins available to really compare.
I know that you look at this on a national platform, but I'm going to zero in on the game tonight, and just to pick your brain a little bit, Iowa on the road at Illinois, 5-point dog in this game. Neither team has won a Big Ten game in conference play as of this moment. One of these teams will walk away with a W tonight. Who stinks worse tonight?
I think it's going to end up being the Hawkeyes stinking worse, just because they have been a massive disappointment. And then having to go on the road, I think, is just really going to compound that. I mean, this is a team that really hasn't proven that it can win away from home yet. So I think they're going to be the team coming out with the short end of the stick tonight.
You've seen this Illinois squad. You've seen Iowa. You watch about as much college basketball as anybody, Chris. They don't have a victory yet in conference play, the Illini, but 0-4, Underwood in season number one. You know, where are people with Illinois kind of going forward as you look to build things back up? It's a program that you look at historically, you figure they should be better than what they've been. A lot of disappointments throughout the years. Underwood, though, the wins aren't showing up right now in Big Ten play. Are people excited about the future and what he has a chance to build?
I think they are. I think they would have been more excited had they actually kind of built off those first two Big Ten losses, which were both overtime losses, as opposed to, you know, losing a pair by 10 in a row, you know, by 10 points in a row, you know, earlier, you know, going back to last week. So I think that they had a little bit more consistency going from that. I think people would be a little more excited. But I think that between, you know, what Lovey's been doing in football and, you know, kind of the way things have been in Illinois basketball the past few seasons, it seems like a lot of people up here kind of have rebuild fatigue right now and really just want to see the proof. They want to see the wins.
You know, it's interesting when we take a look at what conferences are doing well and which ones aren't. The Pac-12 is just miserable. The Mountain West is about the same. The Big Ten has a lot of low-life teams. The Big 12, apparently, is the best conference, maybe followed by the ACC. Is that where you are right now with the Big 12?
Yeah, I think that it's really kind of the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC are really the three teams that are kind of vying for the top. I would put the Big East in there, too. But, you know, their top seven teams, they have seven legit tournament threats. But the other three teams, they're non-factors, and that really hurts them. In the case of the Big 12, I mean, you've got the same situation. You kind of have seven teams that look to be solid in terms of tournament selection, but the other three, they're all capable of beating those other seven on any other night, and a team like Kansas State or Oklahoma State in particular, and we can't even really throw out Iowa State either because they have a couple of decent wins from non-conference. If they can get things together, you know, they're going to be there as well, and you can't say that about those little three teams from the Big East.
Who's the most difficult for a team for you right now to look at the resume and find a spot for the bracket? One that jumped out to me, I was watching Kentucky, Texas A&M the other night.
Mm-hmm.
They lose again. A&M now 0-4. They have that great win against West Virginia at the beginning of the season. A couple of decent wins against Oklahoma State and Penn State non-conference. We know this is a talented team, but suspensions, injuries, A&M would be it for me. Is that the same for you? Do you have another one that jumps off?
Yeah, they're really another one. They're really, to me, the team that really I just can't really place. Creighton's kind of in that same boat just because they had a lot. They had a couple of decent non-conference wins, but they also had some real chaff at the bottom of their non-conference schedule that kind of hurts their position. Arkansas is kind of getting that way where they, you know, won a couple really nice games in November, December, and they've kind of fallen off. Yeah, those are really the teams. A&M, to me, I think, though, that's the team. If they end up not really getting things together, if they end up getting in that 6 or 7 range, depending on the pairing they get, that's a team when they're at their full powers, that's the team that could definitely get the lead eight out of that 6 or 7 spot and to really keep an eye on late.
Always good, pal, when you take some time with us, Chris. Thank you so much. You're going to be hearing from us a lot as we get into February and March. Thank you.
Glad to do it, guys. Thanks so much.
That's Chris Dobertin, everybody. SB Nation Bracketology. Always fun when we have him on the show. I got a kick out of it, Trent, when he says that the teams getting blasted last weekend, all the top teams, just blew up his brackets everywhere. That's a tough job right now.
Well, the good thing is it's not anything that really matters until we get to
March.
End of the season. Yeah, it's an exercise that is fun to look at, fun to talk about, but in the end, it doesn't mean a whole lot. You know, if things could very much solidify themselves, we could see, you know, the Big 12, we talked about as many as 8 teams having a chance to get in.
Mm-hmm.
You could have things that blow up, and Chris mentioned that, where teams win conference tournaments that you don't expect, and coming out of nowhere doing things like that. So it's fun to take a look at. It's fun to try to kind of get a grasp on things. What we know, at least around here, well, we don't have to worry about brackets very much with Iowa State and UNI. But Drake is in. Drake has the 15 seed in the Midwest region. How cool would that be if they win Arch Madness, though, Jimmy B?
Oh, my gosh. That would be sensational. I mean, since 2008, they've been in the Trent Condon coined Drake Invitational. And to break that and do it by making the tournament, by winning the conference tournament, oh, my God, that would be so much fun. And it'd be fun for us, too, for that story to take place.
We're coming back on the other side. We go and take a national view with ESPN Zubin Mehente. He's going to join us coming up next as we take you up until 6 o'clock tonight. Stay right there. It's Jimmy B and TC on 1700.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
Are you in the mood for real, classic, homemade Italian food? Well, I have the spot for you. It's Villaggio. Two locations. The newest location in Urbandale, 2675 100th Street. The original in Norwalk. Classic dishes like cavatelli, spaghetti, lasagna, and vodka rigatoni. Top-notch pizza and awesome sandwiches. A great happy hour and Italian done right. Villaggio.
It costs $15 per day to provide the necessary shelter, food, and veterinary care for every animal at the Animal Rescue League of Iowa. And right now, we have over 1,000 animals in our care. For as little as $5 a month, you can join our Loyal Friends Club to ensure that the ARL will continue to be there for animals in need. The need is now. The need is local. Visit arl-iowa.org/donate to start giving today. Thank you.
Sponsored by Walgreens. Need the right relief fast? Swing by Walgreens today with brands like Vicks DayQuil and NyQuil Severe. You'll get maximum strength cold and flu relief day or night. Walgreens. Trusted since 1901.
I'm a squeaky toy, and I've got one job, getting chomped on by this little ankle sniffer. So pardon me for feeling inept compared to Geico, who does so much more. Like, while I'm getting slobbered on, Geico is creating cool technology like their mobile app, which lets people pay their bills or file a claim. Plus, Geico is the fastest-growing auto insurer for the last 10 years. Is it too much for me to ask for one more feature? Fast and friendly claim service like Geico, maybe? Oh, great. I'm getting buried again.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Real sports talk for real sports fans. It's Jimmy B and TC. Here's Jim and Trent.
All right, we'll put a cap on hour number one here with Zubin Mehente from ESPN. Jimmy B and TC here with you on the Big Talkers 1700. Zubin, what's going on?
Not much, guys. How you doing? We're just getting ready for the show tonight. We'll be on late, but there's a lot of stuff happening. What's up with you guys?
Not a whole lot around here. Disappointing start to the... Hey, I want to go offbeat just for a moment with you. Iowa, okay. Iowa State, you and I all struggling. Drake's been a fun story, but college basketball's been off. But I was playing the rejoiner music there. Zubin, you're about the same age as me. What kind of music does Zubin Mehente like? I was just thinking of that as we were coming back. Are you a music guy at all?
Not really a music guy, to be honest with you. I do like stimulation, so I like listening to like podcasts and things like that. Yep. I definitely need some noise. I'm not like a guy that sits around and can't do nothing. Even when I'm like, I was texting you earlier today, even when I'm just kind of walking around town doing stuff here where I live, I actually had your Ken Miller show popped on, so we were talking. So I'm just much more of, I definitely need something, I need a little bit of noise, but I'm not too much of a music guy. I'm 39, so if anybody in the audience is in that kind of wheelhouse, you probably know what we all listen to as kids and stuff like that, but it is just kind of one of those things where maybe I'm just getting old and cranky and too loud for me, and I got to go to sleep early to get up to do all these shifts. But no, I'm much more of like a podcast listener, sports talk radio listener. I'm kind of—I wish I was a little more well-rounded, Trent. But I'm gonna—I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm just kind of all sports all the time, which I think it's a good thing, but I think in other ways it may not be such a great thing.
Yeah, I got the same problem, too. That was Cypress Hill from our period, Zubin. So that time, that's all my music. My music's basically stuff I like from 1988 to about 94, and then it's over for me from there.
I'm with you. At least you can get there. I can't even get there.
I got you, yeah. Hey, listen, I like that 39 number. That fits in my wheelhouse perfectly.
You got to double it to get to you, Jimmy B. All right, let's get into sports. Let's get into the real reason we got Zuba Mahente on here. The NFL playoffs are upon us. It's the divisional round. Zubin, here's something else that's been bothering me. Last weekend, it was a wild card weekend. Well, only two of the four teams in each conference are actually wild card teams. This is a divisional round. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Can't we rename these things and find better names for these weekends?
You know, what's interesting is I think wild card is appropriate just because in recent years, it's just one of those things where it actually has held that sort of weight. You're right. Divisional doesn't really make sense because obviously you've got, you know, let's say I just finished taping with Courtney Cronin, our Vikings reporter, and you've got the NFC South Division taking on the NFC North Division for a spot in the NFC Conference Championship game. So you're right, it is a little bit misleading. But to be honest with you, one thing we couldn't talk to Courtney about, we just spend most of our time talking about Case Keenum and what would plan B after Case Keenum if it were to get there. She seemed to indicate it was Bridgewater. I think it's great. Mike Zimmer, after all the illnesses and the health concerns and the eye concerns, to come back for a moment like this. I mean, who knows how long it'll last. But the story that I think gets traction, but needs to be getting more traction, is just the real notion. I mean, this isn't like a new story, and I think we all know this, but it's a story that I guess maybe they have to win one playoff game before we start talking about it. But since we're in the wrongly named divisional round now, I think it's early enough to talk about it, and that is the possibility of the Vikings playing the Super Bowl in Minnesota. Like, I think it's a big story. I know they have to win one game, but with the number one seed guys in the NFC, obviously wounded, they're an underdog this weekend. I'm sure you guys saw that the Falcons are favored. The only team that's got a better chance, quote-unquote, in terms of playing at home, the Eagles are so decimated because of the Wentz situation, how poorly Foles played down the stretch of the regular season. I think you really got to start talking about the Vikings playing the Super Bowl in Minnesota. Like I said, maybe it's just going to take one win and then it's a thing, but I still think just the possibility that it could happen, and we're not talking about it that much, I just find it odd. I thought there would have been a lot of speculation, especially once they got by. If they were like a wild card team, okay, you got a long way to go to get there. Things got to break your way. But once they kind of got that two seed, wrapped up the division, and saw what happened to the Eagles, I'm surprised it hasn't gotten more chatter, to be honest.
I'm with you on that. I thought that would be a topic of conversation that would, because it's never happened before and may not ever happen again, and this would be the perfect time for a home team to be playing in a Super Bowl game at their stadium. Take me to the coaching availabilities. There are still, what, four or five open jobs. Generally, they move much more quickly than that. The Raiders did with your colleague and John Gruden. But are these teams waiting because the people that they want are still on the sidelines with teams that are in the playoffs, Zubin?
You know, my opinion on that, Jim, is a couple of things. One, you know, this is a real opportunity for the Belichick tree to look a little better than it has in the past. Obviously, Mangini didn't work out great. Romeo Crennel didn't work out great. Josh McDaniels didn't work out great the first time, although I think he's going to work out great the second time because I actually covered him his whole tenure in Denver, which wasn't very long and very glorious. It was 1.5 years, but he had a lot of personnel say, I think at this particular point, people know he's a great play caller. He's been around Brady enough to know that he could probably do it if he has an average to moderate quarterback, a great play caller. But to me, there's two stories about this hiring cycle. One, the opportunity for the Belichick tree to prove that it's a legitimate tree. Because if McDaniels can get a job, and I think he's ready for it, and a guy like Matt Patricia maybe gets the Giants gig, then I think you're in a situation where that could begin to look like it's the right thing. There were some reports from our ESPN, that explosive ESPN story, that he's actively helping these guys get ready for these particular interviews, and these guys have actually gone through some of these. But I think it's one of those things where story number one, Belichick guys, they're not just great because they're breathing the same air as Bill. Just because Bill's a genius, it doesn't make you a genius because you're on his staff. And that's kind of been the sentiment because guys have kind of struggled once they've left Bill. But I think this time around, it's going to be a little bit different. And the second thing, Jim, I think the bigger story, and this is not Gruden withstanding because Gruden is obviously there to pump life into an organization. He's a rock star. They're moving to Vegas. They need that sort of star appeal. The thing that I've often been, kind of curious about in the last several years is why there aren't better candidates. It just doesn't feel like there's a great crop of guys waiting. Like when I was, maybe like 10, 15 years ago, or maybe even 20 years ago, you kind of felt like, wow, they're grooming Andy Reid, or they're grooming Mike McCarthy, or Mike Tomlin, he's really going to be something. Or a guy like Mike Zimmer, who waited forever, or a guy like Bruce Arians, who waited forever. And guys like that have just gotten opportunities. And again, I'm not here to bag on guys, but it's like we've gone from that to like, Ben McAdoo, he spent a little time with Eli Manning, and he gets hired. And some of these retread sort of hires. And again, a guy like Doug Marrone has obviously proven to have been the right fit. But besides the Pats hiring situation, my biggest thing is, where are the up-and-coming guys? You used to just have coordinators on both sides of the ball, like I said, that always were up for these jobs, and they were well-known names. Now, if you're not a Chiefs fan, you have no idea who the Bears hired. I'm not taking anything away from Nagy at all, by the way, here. But you're telling me one of the most historic legacy franchises in the NFL hires a coordinator from a playoff team. People are like, who's that? And I think that's a huge indicative problem of just maybe finding the next generation of guys. The easiest thing to do is just go retread, and sometimes in Jacksonville it works, and other times in Chicago with like Dick Geron, it doesn't. But it's one of those things where I think the league is to really figure out where's the next generation of head coaches coming.
Speaking of next generation, Monday Night Football, part of the enterprise you're employed by at ESPN, they're going to have somebody new as the color commentator. Grooming people set up for the job. I've been a proponent here of Randy Moss getting a shot there. Don't know, maybe it'd have to be a three-man booth. I don't know if Randy could fill the whole time, but I love him during countdown. I just think he's entertaining. The way he explains the game in a different way, I just really like him. Who are names, though? You get to know all these guys. Who do you think could be good up in that booth and working with McDonough?
It's hard to say. I think every one of our guys would love the opportunity, and we have a lot of guys work on the NFL. I would say this, though, in terms of why it should be a wide net. Because I think you look at a property like Monday Night Football, right, and you say to yourself, wow, it's Monday Night Football. In the analyst chair, two things have been proven. One, if you have a really, really good play-by-play guy, Al Michaels is great. Obviously, Cosell was amazing. Mike Tirico is very good, excellent. And Sean McDonough is proving to have been doing an excellent job as well. So if you have a big-time play-by-play job, and let's just be honest, this is Monday Night Football, if you're not great at this, you can't do it from a play-by-play perspective. There's just too many eyeballs. But number one, when you have that big-time play-by-play guy, the guy you can trust, what that really allows you to do, to me, this is just as a viewer, I'm not talking as a guy that's in the business, but when you have a great, trusty right-hand man, when you know you can rely on the play-by-play guy to get you through everything, what you can then do is be very inventive about who you go for the analyst position. Because you guys know, Jim, you called network games for years, and Trent, you've been watching sports like I have for years. Generally speaking, when it's Monday Night Football, the first thing you generally think is, okay, let's get a guy that's done some TV. But to be honest with you, before Tony Kornheiser slipped into the booth years ago, he had done TV, but he had never done live sports broadcasts. And obviously Coach Gruden was a guy that hadn't done any television and generally was received pretty well, especially by the players, and he jumped in there and did it. So what I'm trying to say is, if you have a really good play-by-play guy, the prerogative or the prerequisite of having previous TV experience, especially for such a big job like this, you'd like to have somebody that's done it before, but the last two guys in some capacity have done it. Now, of course, Seisman and McGuire and all these guys, they've done it forever. But guys like Tony that are new to the event world, calling live games, and guys like Gruden that just sort of got in there and figured it out on the fly, it opens up the opportunity for everyone. Because you're talking about you don't have to have experience to do the job. If you're saying you got to have 10 or 15 years, you got to have worked at a network, you got to do this, you got to do that, well, it severely restricts the amount of people that can do it. And it goes back to your previous question, Trent, where are you going to find the next generation of guys? Well, at some point, you're going to have to look to guys that don't have a lot of experience so you can open up the pool. So I think you might see a complete wild card just because if you have the right people in place around a new guy, you put a new guy in there. So, I think Randy Moss is great. I think it's one of those things, though, where nobody should be precluded because you don't have the experience, because if you have the right people around you, you can take a neophyte or somebody that doesn't have a ton of experience and make them feel comfortable right away, And that was proven with Gruden, and I think that was a generally considered a hit by most people, that he was a very successful analyst. So I don't going to see somebody that has to be too seasoned or has a lot of gray around the temples. I think you could see somebody that's fresh and new, especially if you get the right crew around him.
In about 1 minute, Zubin, do they need to hit a home run with that hire? In other words, does it have to be a big name like Moss, or could it be somebody who is what they consider on the rise?
I think it's got to be a combination of both, because if you take a look at all the pregame shows, you know, Jim, at the network level, and I've always felt this, you know, we both remember Joe Montana on NFL Live. You know, Joe Montana was, you know, you could count on one hand the number of players in football that are better than him, but he wasn't a really exciting analyst. But there is something right to be said for having that sort of name. Oh, Joe Montana said it, it must carry some weight. So I generally am of the belief that when you have a really big job, like Sunday Night Football or Monday Night Football, or look at Fox NFL Sunday, which to me is the best example, Terry Bradshaw, household name. Michael Strahan, household name on and off the football field. He appeals to a lot of different demographics, not just football. Howie Long played for a legendary franchise, huge name. Jimmy Johnson, huge name, obviously, with the Cowboys. It's really tough, guys. Think about it. It is really, really tough for any network to get four guys like that. If it was that easy, everybody would have bold-faced names everywhere. So I think you definitely want to get a guy that's on the rise, because you'd like to have somebody that can do this job 5, 10, 15, 20 years, grow into the job, if it's not a former coach that wants to get back in. But at the same token, because it's so high wattage, I think you want a guy that you could put out there and say, well, Fox has this guy, NBC's got Collinsworth, CBS has got Cowher, well, we got this guy. And I think a lot of times, to make that fan stop, you got to have that name where even if the sound is down and the person's name's not on the screen, you can immediately recognize them. And that's credibility with the viewer. And Gruden's a perfect example. If you have the sound down and you're just listening, oh, that's Coach Gruden. And I think if they can find somebody like that, that's exactly the formula Fox, CBS, and NBC have used. So I think the bigger the platform, you kind of have to have a guy that's got gravitas and name recognition. But for Monday Night Football, you know, Jim, they're not going to have problem attracting candidates.
Good stuff. Hey, Zubin, as always, great catching up with you again. Appreciate your time. We'll do it again soon.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Zubin Mehente, ESPN. Hour number one in the books. Hour two. We are stacked up. We're talking Hawkeyes with Derek Peck, Adam Kramer on college football, and we'll also hear from Ken Silverstein. All to come in hour number two. It's Jimmy B and TC.
You found your home for real sports talk for real sports fans. 1700 KBGG.
At Wolf Construction, we do many large construction projects across the Midwest, but we started as a roofing company, and we're still a roofing company today. At Wolf Construction, we don't just show up with a dumpster and trailer in your driveway. We arrive with a business card in hand, ready to take care of your home. Whether it's a simple roof repair, a complete re-roofing project,